Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstkclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Oh, I want to go first today.
Okay, it is Love Note Day.
What?
That's right. It is Love Note Day, so it's time for the combo platter. Give us a sports opinion, and then have you ever written, I hope that did not go out on air, have you ever written a love note, and if so, how did it turn out? 877-881-1053.
Mike turned off my TVs. Now I don't have any TV to watch. It's okay. We're doing a radio show, Kevin.
That's right.
All right. Deal with it. There are love letters in my life, Kevin. I've written love letters before. I've written many poems also.
Yeah, it was very nice. I appreciate you sending that.
Anytime, Reggie. It's all about you, buddy.
One day a man knows his career is at an end. Are you talking about that Romo poem?
I do have. So it's a sports opinion first, okay. And then a love letter.
Okay. Yes.
Can I? My sports opinion.
I don't only ever change the combo platter. It's always the same.
Oh, I just
format.
Want to make sure that there are new listeners know. Kevin, I don't know if you know this, but every 5 minutes we have a new listener, and I want
every show is somebody's first.
So I want somebody to know.
All right, fair.
My opinion is I want you to help me give the facts to people.
Okay.
Because I am seeing like Michael Gelkin posted the quote from Jerry about, look, when it came down to Amari, it's about money.
Yep.
Clarence Hill, David Hellman, many reporters that are on the beat are like, where's the money? Well, you didn't do anything with the offensive line this year.
I have an easy answer.
So I hope everybody out there is listening right now when it comes down to, well, what did you do with that money, Jerry Jones? Obviously, you didn't use it to replace Amari Cooper this year.
That's true. They put it in the bank. Okay? So, and it's not exciting, but think about, like, from a tax refund perspective. Oh, what are you going to do with your tax refund? I'm going to save it.
Or birthday money.
Yeah. Like, that's boring. So, here's what happened. So, by making the trade, you save essentially $16 million. Well, we've talked with Steven about this before. If you want to argue that part of it went into the Michael Gallup deal, I would listen to that. If your argument was they were always going to make that deal, fine, we'll move on to the next one. They'll tell you Jason Peters was part of it. But the rest of it, and we asked Steven Jones about this, and he told us, you can roll the salary over. And right now, they're positioning themselves to roll a whole bunch of that salary over into next year. So
can I pause you for a second? Because
yeah,
remind me if I'm wrong, if I'm just misremembering. Wasn't there a point where Steven Jones told us that 15 or so million was necessary? Was like a necessary buffer that you needed just to get through any season?
Which I didn't have that information in the moment, but I've researched that a lot. That is an absolutely drop dead worst case chaos scenario, because he said you have to have it to have a full roster, maybe a full roster the way the Cowboys like to do it, where you have to have all your practice squad with exactly who you want stocked to the brim at all points. But in reality, not really. That's like your ultimate rainy day fund. But you're absolutely right. That is what he said. And at the moment, I was thinking in my head.
Since we're talking about facts.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking in my head. I was like, I need to go back and research that. And that is the absolute worst case scenario. And the reason you know it's a worst case scenario is I think at the time they had the second most cap space in the NFL. And so you're like, well, those two things don't jive. But so I did go research that further. That could be true, but it would have to be like pretty bad. So they're rolling the money over. I know it is agitating because you're like, well, what are you doing with that money now? Their answer is this. Amari Cooper is now CeeDee Lamb. And CeeDee Lamb is now Michael Gallup. Like, that is their answer to that question.
And one day, somebody's money is going to have to go to Micah Parsons.
And Trayvon
Diggs. Because of the
Diggs
way that they do their accounting.
Exactly. I know. It is super boring and not exciting at all. And if you're like, but you didn't spend it for this year, that's 100% fair. But we've asked Steven this in the past since he's the guy that it seems by all accounts really runs the cap. He talked about carrying it over. So there's your answer.
And my opinion on this then is I don't believe it was just about this money part of it. Because Jerry Jones, sure. I also think, is like, well, I'm paying you $20 million. I'm not getting $20 million in return.
And that goes to what we talked about last night. Amari Cooper was really good last night. The week before, he was really good until he couldn't catch the onside kick to win them the game. But people were like, look at that. He had back-to-back 100-yard games without pointing out. That was the first time that happened in 6 years. When you paid Amari Cooper, I know the wide receiver market took a bump after that. I'm pretty sure he was the second or third highest paid wide receiver in the league. It had been 6 years since he had back-to-back 100-yard games.
I know you're putting it on Amari, and you could be right. How come you don't put any of that on the quarterback or the offensive coordinator?
I was just about to throw out this part of it, Mike. Thank you very much for that. How many times last year did Amari Cooper have over 70 yards?
I don't know.
Four. Over 70 yards, he had four games where he had over 70 yards.
Right.
So, Mike, to your question there, I don't know how much of that is, well, Amari Cooper was only getting 50, 60 yards a game and an offense where you should have been able to do more. I mean, they were the best offense in the league last year. He was only getting 60 yards a game. He's not 100. Now, he's not Cooper Kupp in this thing where he's getting four straight games of 120 yards. Who is that on? Is it on the offensive coordinator or is it on the player?
Okay, so two things for you there, Mike. On the offensive coordinator, that's fair. I don't know, and I wonder about his job going forward. For Dak, like, just a couple of things I would give you for an example. Like, take this for whatever you want. Last time that CeeDee Lamb had back-to-back 100-yard games, it was last year. So, like, just if that's what we're doing, it was last year. And then for Dak, that's just a situation that cannot change. I might think it should change, but it's not going to change. It's like when people squabble about, like, why is Jerry still the GM? It's just never going to change. I also have thoughts that if a team came calling and said, we want Dak, I'm 100% ready to have that conversation. I just don't think the Cowboys are. But if you want to put blame on Dak, I think that's totally fair. If you want to put blame on the OC, totally fair.
And I do think Amari is a little bit more motivated this year because a team let him go for pretty much nothing.
Sure.
I mean, a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, you're right.
We just cut John Ridgeway, right? Yeah. I mean, that's how much a fifth-round pick is worth. You cut the dude 1 week into a season going, hopefully he gets through and we put him on our practice squad. So you pretty much traded him for nothing. And I think that's extra motivation for Amari this year, too, so he could have one of his best years. You know, if obviously the quarterback can get him the ball and he can stay on the field.
Wait, hold on. Did we just allow Corey to weasel his way out of telling his love story?
Now for the love note.
Thank you.
I decided I was going to ask Adrian to prom, I took a bunch of little frogs, like stuffed animal frogs, and sent them to each one of her classes. And with the lines, we had four classes. If beauty were time, you'd be eternity. I was wondering if you'd go to prom with me.
Oh.
And then I didn't put my name on the last one, so she didn't know who it was. And then somebody, I had to tell her. And
you big
I was,
dummy.
And I was at baseball practice. She could have ended up going to prom with any other dude.
Someone walked up and took credit for your
work? Yeah, they were like, hey, yeah, that was me. I'm
the frog guy.
Yeah, and then later on, I did write another really good letter to her to ask her to marry me on the same date.
How'd it turn out?
She said yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, and we've had kids.
Then what happened?
I don't know if she's happy with me today.
What? Like, what did you do?
Well, it's a long story, but, you know, they were busy last night with North Texas Giving Day, and I felt like I needed to be in another room most of the night. So.
Okay. All right.
Maybe she'll be happy with me later.
Okay. Can I hit some of these Tolo ones?
No.
Oh, okay. Mike, you're up next then.
I've written love notes. You have to remember, I'm born in 1977, so there was no internet when... Like when Sue went off to college, I know it sounds weird, but 1996, 1997, I would say 90% of the population was not on the internet yet doing emails. I know that there were emails back then.
I think 96, I wonder. But yeah, before that, for sure. For sure.
I mean, I can't remember having email until 98.
I definitely had email in 96.
Yeah.
Because that was AOL. I don't think it was that fancy. Everyone got the free disc. You got mail. And if you got mail at that point, it was probably like a real email. Whereas yeah. now it's like, eh.
And then the other thing too is no cell phone. So it was collect call. It was costing money to call her when she was at Texas Tech and I was still at Duncanville. So yeah, at times I'd write letters to her and then, I don't know, I'd get to her 3-4 days later.
Would she call you and be like,
weird.
What a sweet note.
No, she'd write back.
Oh, but, that's better.
My dearest Sue.
How weird does that sound Mark to you, that. Reggie, that there was no way to get to talk to somebody for like 3 or 4 days? You had to write it, and then you knew putting it in the mail within 3 to 5 days, they would get this letter, and then you were hoping that then after you wrote that letter, you put it in the mail, approximately 10 days later, you would get something back from that person.
That is pretty crazy.
Mm.
What's your sports opinion?
Mavericks are going to make a pretty big trade in the season.
Oh.
Because I don't think they're going to be happy with their first 30 games of the year.
Okay.
They're going to be over 500.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to look at it and go, hey, can we beat these 3 or 4 teams that are ahead of us in the standings? And I think the answer is going to be no. And I think they're going to try really hard to make a move. I think I'm not a huge like Jalen Brunson fan that he's awesome. I think he's properly ranked between somewhere yeah. between 60 and 75, you know, top players in the NBA. But I do think they're going to go, hey, we're asking Luka to have the ball less. And how in the world are we supposed to be asking this of him with the players he's supposed to be letting dictate some of the flow and tempo of this?
From the 469 Sports Opinion, Zeke needs more touches. And I used to write love letters, notes when I would be in the field training for weeks in the Army, resulted in 2 kids. Hey, do you think most love letters have success? Also, follow-up question. Do you think there's an unfair standard for how people perceive things based on if you like that guy or not? Like, I was talking about this with my wife, and she said, yeah, this guy used to leave me like little notes and stuff in my car, but I didn't like him, so I thought it was creepy. But right. if I thought he was cute, I would have thought it was the sweetest thing ever. And that is a tough dynamic to figure out.
No, that's
I mean,
absolutely.
Is it? It seems pretty straightforward.
You need to be honest.
But if you
with
don't
person,
know right away.
Well, then you know.
You need to be honest with that person, though. You need
After that first note, you're after, like,
yeah, hey, look, I don't think this is going to work.
Them.
It's not you. It's me.
No.
And that definitely is the situation. It's me that I don't like you because mm-hmm. of the way you look.
Because of you.
Yeah.
From the 817, Cowboys crushed the Giants on Monday Night Football, and they said they mailed a secret admirer letter in 9th or 10th grade, included hints and original poetry. It didn't work out.
Oh.
She was nice, though.
Because yeah, right. you gave her work. You gave her a puzzle.
Yeah.
What?
What are you, the Riddler?
Oh, my gosh.
Puzzles are more difficult. Mine was just surprises. You know, like, am I going to get another surprise in the next class? It wasn't a puzzle.
Okay.
Imagine how much work she had. She just showed up to class.
But I envision Reggie's love letter like this. Do I like you? It's tough.
Let's
like,
do
what do we mean
list.
By like?
Well, to be fair, I've already gone through all of those discussions before I write the letter.
Okay.
That's the point I know.
Okay.
But I feel like he's going to write a line and be like, do I want to write that line? Do I want to include that line?
Yeah. All right.
What about me makes you think I'm going to write extra lines?
Very valid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
From the 940, CeeDee Lamb is going to have a 100-yard game on Monday, and I wrote a love letter to my future wife. That's from Tim. And a lot of these are turning out positive. I wonder if people are more apt to send in their positive stories
sure.
versus, oh, yeah, I wrote a love letter. This is a disaster. She showed it to her friends.
Oh,
they
I want to hear that
me.
One. Let's do that next week.
No.
I want to do that next week. What was your biggest failure with a love letter?
Yeah.
You can do it.
Why
limit
it to love
could.
Letters? Yeah. You know, we can just open this up.
From
Have
the,
you ever written a hate letter?
Oh.
Okay, look. It probably does not surprise you, but I have 100% gotten a letter from a relationship that went wrong that had the line, you are the worst thing that has ever happened to me in that letter.
Do you think that was accurate?
No, because we're friends now.
Oh.
So I do not think that was accurate. From the 817.
She took it well.
There is not, for a while, there
All
is
right.
not a $40 million Jeez. Difference between Prescott and Cooper Rush. Love letter, stuck it in the door of her car. And we have 2 kids together, and they have 5 kids total, still going strong. Outstanding.
Nice.
Another positive love letter.
I'm glad you didn't put that in the tailpipe, because that would have ended up like really messing
oh,
the car up.
No.
You don't want the car to explode or something.
It's not a banana.
Yeah. But it could be a very thick letter.
Man, this one time at the video store, I saw somebody else put something, this guy put something else in a tailpipe. This is the most horrifying thing
Why
I think
are you
I've
sharing
ever
this
seen.
17 pages, front and back. Can you imagine?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we will move into the lunch rush as part of the Expressway. We will give away tickets to the Rangers-Yankees season finale. But also, if you were a baseball closer, what would your intro song be? 877-881-1053. We'll do it all next right here on The Fan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan as we jump on for 30 minutes of uninterrupted content. 877-881-1053. You want to get involved in the conversation. We also got a giveaway in this segment, and Mike likes it. But we're going to start with this. If you were a baseball closer, what would your intro song be? Now, I think this is all started by, not that this is the first intro song ever, but we got to cut 30 right here. I think this is what has sparked this fever and discussion all over again. So Edwin Diaz and the viral video that went along with it, that still would have thought Major League Baseball would have done more to capitalize on that, got us to kicking around the conversation because the Rangers don't have, and it feels like they have rarely, if ever, had the kind of closer that would have that music and get everyone fired up. We talked about this before the show, not to say they haven't had good closers, but I don't ever remember a closer where you'd fire up the music and everyone would lose their mind because they're like, oh my God, it's go time.
Yeah, and I know that this is the name. I know that there's controversy around his name, but it was John Wetland. That's the Rangers' best closer ever, and that was a guy you got from the World Championship Yankees to come to the Texas Rangers. So that was the guy. But back then, I don't even know if music was a thing with players picking music. Because when I played, it was just barely starting. So right around 2000, 2001 is you start seeing a little bit, not a lot, you start seeing a little bit of music related to players. So it's right around the early 2000s where people like Chuck Morgan started saying, hey, pick your walk-up song. Hey, pick your song. You're coming out of the bullpen too. And so this one has been pretty awesome. I mean, when it comes to the Mets games, they don't even go to commercial. So if they are at home and it's a closing situation and Edwin Diaz is coming in, they wipe out the commercial break. They go, we're not going to commercial. We're showing this whole thing of the crowd going nuts, Edwin Diaz coming in, and the song. So that has become the deal. And I was talking to you about this, Kevin, today and before today, too, is I'm not a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
But the thing that is the best about wrestling, I don't care at all about the wrestling. I know how athletic those guys are, the coordination that goes with it, the power, the strength, all that stuff. But it's the introduction and then talking on the mic. That's really wrestling to me. Like, that's the fun part.
When you think of Stone Cold Steve Austin, how many people think of the glass breaking and
Yeah. And The Rock was probably, in my opinion, the best ever on the mic. And obviously his, you know, if you smell what The Rock is cooking and all that stuff. I mean, that was it. And so I feel like baseball has to, as they're trying to figure out, hey, how do we get fans more engaged? Obviously, we're making $10 billion, so that's not bad.
I know it's just a movie, but I was always curious, do you think any of this trend was inspired by Wild Thing from Major League?
That's a great question. Maybe it is, because obviously that is late 80s, early 90s. I'm not exactly sure.
The first one came out in 89.
Okay, so, and then you have the Wild Thing coming out of the bullpen, which was awesome. And really the first one ever, Kevin, as we go to the Cut 31, this was the first one that ever really caught on as this is freaking amazing because the pitcher is amazing and the intro is amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And this is Mariano Rivera coming in for the New York Yankees. And you would have never guessed that he would pick this song either, because no offense, but I would say 90% of the time when Latin pitchers come into the game and they're picking a song, they're picking a Spanish speaking song.
Okay. And so what would you think about something like this? Because it's not like it makes a lot of sense and it's clever, but it doesn't go as hard as some of these other songs from the 682. My intro song would be You Can't Touch This by MC Hammer. Like, do you feel like people would, like, narratively, I get why that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't mind that, but I feel like it has to be, first of all, you need multiple things happening. You need to have a winning team, and you need to have a great closer.
Okay, yeah.
Because if you just have an average closer who doesn't really get the job done a lot, then it becomes a little bit tough for this creation. Like right now, if the Rangers had a great closer, but they're only going to win 70 games this year,
it might not work in tandem.
It doesn't work as well, because as far as I know, I think Edwin Diaz might have done this in Seattle.
But just the team wasn't good enough for anybody to care.
It didn't super catch on because they weren't winning a lot, and he wasn't. He was a good closer, but now that he's in New York and that the Mets have a real chance to win it all, it's really caught on.
Okay, I promise I kept that in mind because my original thought was going to be the Final Countdown by Europe, but I don't know if that would like catch on as much. But here's a couple of different ones. The 817 Easy, Master of Puppets intro by Metallica.
Like
from another 817 Domination by Pantera. So you're going with songs that are a little harder.
Yeah.
I went with Cut 33, which I'm sure has been used before, but I think this would be a great one to come out to. And you talked about
doors have to open.
Yeah, exactly. You talked about how you wanted the buildup. The doors could open there, or you could wait just a little bit longer, and the doors could open now. And, like, I think that would make a good time to walk off, too. But this would be the one that I think would fire me up and fire the crowd up.
And in his prime, Eric Gagne used this.
Okay. And he was awesome.
Very
in his
good.
Prime.
One of the best.
Yeah, no, he was really good. That's a good song, man. I hear that a lot. Like, the Bengals even call their place the Jungle. And so, like, that makes a lot of sense, too.
And just this year, their season dies there.
Oh, man.
Is that not? I'm sorry. Right, we're not doing that. They're only 0-2. It could turn around.
Lots of options here, Mike. My high school baseball coach always rolled out with the firemen because he was cooling them down when they were all hot.
From George Strait.
Yeah. And that could work in some areas.
Yeah, and I feel like in Texas, right, if you come out to that in Houston and in Texas, I think that works out well. In fact, we didn't pull this one, but Jonathan Papelbon in Boston used to come out to kind of an Irish.
The Irish.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Dropkick
Murphys. And Boston's actually in the title.
Shipping up to Boston, Dropkick Murphys.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that would work other places anywhere near as effectively, but you don't need it to.
I do think there's locations before we get to yours because Kenley Jansen, when pitching for the Dodgers, used California Love.
Yeah.
Right.
By Tupac.
Whereas if you use that here, people like that song, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird, right? Especially if you were trying to close out the California Angels.
Dope beat, though. That is a dope beat. So, Mike, whenever Kevin and I would fill in for Sean and RJ in the morning, we needed to do things to wake ourselves up. Kevin's
yes.
choice would yeah. be, is it?
Rage Against the Machine.
Which one specifically?
Guerrilla Radio.
Guerrilla Radio.
Really worked. It used to be this
Bulls
song.
Bulls on Parade was
yes.
good. This is what I listen to on my drive in, and so I would I would suppose, Reggie, this is how I would enter into a closing situation. Turn it up.
Love
Turn
it.
That up. In your car right now, crank it up.
Where's my stand?
So you're this is going, the door's getting ready to open.
I love it. Something good to speak.
And the doors pop open.
And
like
the doves fly and the smoke.
Wow, are
fireworks.
You John Woo directing your
Hell
intro?
Yeah, I am.
That'd be cool.
This has to be considered by Major League Baseball. What we're doing right here is hitters only get 5 to a max 10 seconds of their song. They can't really do much with that to get the crowd
you
going
can build
with their
some
music.
Drama that, with this though.
But that's
sure.
why I didn't know Baby
Relief
Shark
pitchers
had
get a minute.
I didn't know Baby Shark had other verses. I only heard it because I didn't have a kid at the time via Elvis, and then I was like, "There's more to this."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that song right there has multiple moments where it does it. So while I'm pitching and everything, I still get to hear that song like as I'm warming up and everything. So I
so,
like it.
And another reason that I thought of this, and a lot of it is based off of Edwin Diaz, is that when Jose Leclerc, who's become a solid closer here at the end of the year for the Rangers, I don't know if he's going to be the closer next year for the Rangers. I think they'll kind of look at their options in spring training. But he does not come out to a song that benefits the crowd at all. It benefits him. There's a meaning. I don't know the meaning of that song to Jose Leclerc.
Yeah.
But when you're in the stands, you're like, what is happening? Why is it a slow love song happening? And we are up by 2 runs in the 9th inning and we have a chance to close the game. So I just think that players need to understand this can't be about you and only you. This has to be especially for your late inning guys, because if we get into a playoff situation, hopefully next year, but I think more likely 24 or 25 when the Rangers can really possibly compete for a playoff spot, is your last 2 or 3 guys that come into the game, if you have like the Nasty Boys, and if you don't remember them in Cincinnati, and that was kind of before, you
Rob
have
Dibble
like,
and
Norm Charlton and Greg Myers. Like if you have 3 stud guys at the end of your pen, and each guy has their own intro music, the way that you two have put together yours. All of a sudden, I think the crowd gets really excited for you to take the mound, for your team to take the field.
I want to get to yours in just a second, Mike, but there's a bunch more. Now, right on cue, 631, Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
There you go.
Power by Kanye. Dr. Dre, Keep Their Heads Ringing. Welcome to My House by Outlaw Nation. Yeah. Thunder by AC/DC. Now, I like this one from the 682. I just don't know if the message is what you want. Is the song Walk by Pantera. I think that's a great song and very exciting. I just don't know if everyone will be like, walk, and be like, but don't do that because we need you to get out.
Walk all back to the dugout.
Okay. All right.
So I like y'all's better than mine.
Oh.
So just because I like the I don't know if
the
this is the right word. Yes, the build up, but also just the power behind it. Where mine doesn't have, I guess, the kind of electric guitar, the power behind it. But I still feel like this would be pretty good. So here is cut 33, and here is what I would come into right now.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast because we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot.
You can still definitively tell where you should open the doors and stuff, though.
So, and
especially
when
he says just like the fajita, because everybody's trying to get some food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the great thing.
Yeah.
Right where I live. My life in the speaker.
That bass in that place, if you got a good system in the stadium, that's going to sound good.
So, and the thing is about this is you get to play it for a minute and a half.
Yeah.
You know, before they have to finally kind of turn it down and then get to the inning. So this is where, when you're picking a song, I will say one of the songs I like and then I hate is Sweet Child of Mine. It starts off so great.
That's the greatest intro.
Oh, sweet child of mine. No, that, and I'm what the crap just happened to all this awesomeness for the first 20 seconds or so of this song? So anyways, like.
So I shouldn't mark you down for like November rain either or anything like that?
Even cold November rain.
And I like Guns N' Roses, but Sweet Child of Mine is one of the weirdest songs ever.
It starts out awesome.
Because
you're right,
man. Like, you just have this intro that's amazing. But my problem is I get past the intro and then it goes into a Oh Sweet Child of Mine, like, love song. And I'm like, dang it, this isn't what I need. That intro does not fit this song.
Hey, Mike, one thing, because I actually pulled one myself.
Okay. Yes, I love it.
I was very intrigued because you were talking about, obviously, the energy and getting that up. But you also kind of talked about wrestling, and you were talking about the performance aspect of it. And I've always said that this would be my song if I was walking up like to bat. But I wonder if it would work the same, although I think there would be a little bit of a performance aspect.
Girl, you could
I just see myself swagger into the plate. Or out the bullpen.
Are you like dancing on the way in too?
I wonder how your teammates would take all that, but
you gotta strike some people out.
You gotta strut to the mound.
As long as it keeps working. Otherwise, they're gonna be like, hey, dude, stop it.
You can't get rocked with your going out there dancing and showing up. Nah, you gotta make sure you get them. I like it.
By the way, one of my buddies, Heath Bell, and I don't know what song he closed to. He was a closer for a little bit in the major leagues, a reliever for a long time. And Mike Adams, who listens, he was teammates. In fact, do you remember everybody thought we were getting Heath Bell?
Yes, I
from do. From the Padres, and it ended up being Mike Adams. It ended up being a great trade, but because Heath Bell's career was kind of coming to a close then. But there's one moment that if you ever look on YouTube, it was Heath Bell's greatest moment and one of the greatest moments in All-Star Game history that's forgotten. He comes into the All-Star Game. And, I mean, he was a guy that, with me, struggled to make the major leagues when I was with him in the Mets and then ended up having a really nice career. Is he comes in dead sprint and slides into the mound for the All-Star game, which was a great moment in All-Star history. No, it was just great. It was the greatest moment, I think. And
that does sound awesome, but kind of nerve-wracking, too, right?
Dead sprint, and he's a heavy guy, and he's dead sprinting as fast as he can go as a heavy guy, then slides feet first into the mound to pitch in the All-Star game. But I like this. This was fun, and I think that the Rangers, starting next year, Chuck Morgan, who listens to our show a lot, he's a Tolo, there needs to be some sort of discouragement, or we're not playing that.
Yeah,
it's too slow. It does not get the crowd going. You're a relief pitcher, and I have to play this for over a minute. Pick another song.
Couple more real quick from the 2-4 Crazy Train by Black Sabbath. Lose Yourself by Eminem. Danger Zone from Top Gun. Oh, fascinating. Okay. And then a bunch of people shouting out Rage Against Machine, Gorilla Radio, Killing in the Name of. I think they've probably got a lot of songs they can fit in this. All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, and we got Mike Likes It coming up in just 1 second.
But I got something
away! 877-881-1053, caller number 10.
Now!
We'll win a 4-pack of tickets in the right field to the Rangers season finale against Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees. You can buy tickets at TexasRangers.com/tickets, or you can win them for free right now. Your opportunity to be a part of history. Caller number 10, 4-pack of tickets, October 5th, 877-881-1053.
I like this text. I'd enter with Broadus reading the lyrics from the rap songs.
Man. Because maybe you could get the other team to laugh and be like, right on. That is a pretty interesting strategy as well. All right. Now, how about some Mike Likes It?
This is amazing that Mike Likes It is going straight to what is on television right now. And it's your favorite tennis player of all time, Roger Federer.
That's right.
So I found this from Forbes. Now, I'm not a huge tennis person. I loved
Federer's
it as a kid.
Federer's got to be the richest.
Not only is he the richest, how about this? Roger Federer, career earnings. Would you like to take a guess on his career earnings?
I bet it's half a billion.
All right. Good guess. Corey, you're not as big a tennis fan as Reggie or Kevin is. Would you have a guess on how much money Roger Federer has made in his tennis career?
$750 million.
Okay, even a better guess. Reggie, tennis man, would you like to take a guess on how much Roger Federer has made in his tennis
career? $1,
Bob. Oh, that was a bad choice. Yeah.
That's actually a perfect guess.
Oh, crap.
Because it is
say $1
billion. $1.1 billion. This is before taxes and agent fees.
This is just from playing. This isn't like from his
advertising.
It's obviously his Nike deal and how much money he's making there. Just like, you know, you can go to earnings for Tiger Woods on the golf course and then earnings for Tiger Woods total, which is just very similar to Roger Federer. I didn't know that he had earned so much more money than any other person ever playing tennis.
The reason why I did know that is because with his contemporaries, especially on the male side, is you would see him in so many more ads, whether it was the Nike thing, whether he is advertising watches or whatever. You would see him in so many, you know, with Tag Heuer. You would see him in so many other things that I know. Because the thing about Djokovic and Nadal is they came along like after Federer had established himself as the best in the game. So, like, I felt like so much of the advertising money went to him. And he was still really, really good the whole time. And they're like, well, let's just stay with him.
So this is from Forbes. Would you guys like to take a guess on the five athletes who've made more money in their sport than Roger Federer? And sorry, he is fifth.
In their sport.
Yeah.
It's the
fifth highest total ever recorded by an active athlete.
Ooh, that's a good
guess. Active because obviously Jordan doesn't count. So I'm sorry. Active, there are four. So he's fifth.
Ronaldo and Messi.
That is both right. And
they should be one and
two,
right?
I'll say LeBron and Tiger then.
And those are the other two.
Oh, there you go.
So Woods, Ronaldo, LeBron James, and Lionel Messi are the only ones. Now, how about this?
You have to say Lionel because he's fancy.
All right. Sorry. Okay. Now, next one. Serena Williams, how much money do you think, since they're both retiring pretty much, I know that they'll play in a few things here and there, how much money do you think Serena Williams made in her tennis career, which she is obviously by far the highest paid women's tennis player of all time?
Say $400 million.
Good guess. But it's just a guess.
That's true.
400.
I don't know the answer.
It's like our world.
$100 million.
Not as good a guess. $340 million.
Which makes sense because one of the things that her, and I know obviously her sister fought against, were the significantly lower purses along the way. Uh-huh. So I figured that would probably play a part in it. And I know she's been in ads, but I just don't remember her being as omnipresent as Fed in the ad game.
How about this? And I think this is an amazing stat from Roger Federer's $1.1 billion in earnings for his tennis career. Rafael Nadal and Djokovic, if you combine their career earnings, it's $970 million. If you combine both of their earnings, they still don't make as much. $500 million for Nadal and Djokovic, $470 million,
that's
according
pretty amazing.
To Forbes. So they don't even combine to make as much as Federer. So if you have the argument on who the better tennis player is, you can maybe bring up.
I bet Fed's fine with it. He's like, that's
both
fine.
Of those guys combined. Yeah. So there's part of your argument when you want to argue Federer. Now, Dirk was on our show, and he brought up trying to maybe get Roger Federer to come and be part of his charity event since he is newly retired. Yeah. How about this? $2 to $3 million. That's the amount Roger Federer could command per event to play in exhibitions and smaller tournaments when he was healthy. So if you wanted
$3 million,
so if you wanted Federer to play in a smaller event, that you would be like, well, we struggle to sometimes get the best or a lot of the best players to play in. Federer would do it, not all the time, but. His command would be, you have to give me $2 to $3 million to show up for this event.
I mean, and it makes sense to me. And I bet obviously for somebody like Dirk, they could swing some sort of other deal, but it makes sense. Like if you were having an event and you were like, oh yeah, and Roger Federer is going to be here to play tennis. Like that's insane.
All right. Also $90.7 million. That's Federer's estimated earnings before taxes and agent fees over the last 12 months. So even though he's been away from the game, hasn't been playing a lot.
That's crazy.
He still made approximately $90 million.
Wow. That's
Is that good?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, imagine it, Reggie. If you can make $90 million for just hanging out and stuff.
Sounds like a dream.
That does sound like your dream, doesn't it? I mean, that would be my dream.
That would be
too.
The best hanger outer.
You guys are going to have to help me out on this.
Okay.
And I'm going to pronounce this wrong because I don't know this company, and maybe it's a tennis company or it's a foreign company. I just don't know about. $300 million, according to Forbes. The reported value of Federer's apparel deal with
Uniqlo?
Yeah, say that again.
Uniqlo.
And help me out. That's over 10 years. What is that? Is that, that's like shirts? That's like tennis shirts or what is it?
That's a good question because I don't think I ever took the time to look into it. I just knew that Uniqlo worked with them. I know that's an apparel company and that's about all I got for it.
Yeah, that's all I know is clothes.
U-N-I-Q-L-O. Yeah, yeah.
I know they do clothes. I don't know what else they do besides that.
I didn't know this.
Japanese casual wear designer.
He left Nike after 2018? Did you know that?
I did not. I have to admit.
Oh, sorry. He joined the brand. So he joined that one Reggie just said. After 2018, he left Nike, which paid him roughly $150 million over the course of two decades. So from Nike, he made $150 million.
And they're like, we'll pay twice as much. I'd be like, sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's go do that.
So anyways, there's some Roger Federer kind of fun facts from Forbes. Now, the next one, this goes into a little bit of, I don't know if this is Mike doesn't like it.
Oh, yes. Which does come up on this show.
It does come up. So crypto and NFTs are plummeting right now. Now, I know there's inflation, obviously, you know, gas has been costing a lot for a while. Groceries keep going up in price. There's a lot of things right now that as consumers, as, you know, people living, it's costing a lot more money to live with. Most likely, salaries have been staying stagnant.
Yeah.
Salaries
are going up slightly compared to inflation. Yeah.
So anyways, crypto. I'd never understood it, and this is why I never really got into it. It'd be fun to pull Gavin Dawson in this conversation because he got into it big time in NFTs, like Top Shot. Remember a couple years ago, Top Shot blew up and people were paying.
Which I loved because I flipped those every time. Like I would get a pack every, this is how hot it was, Mike. I would get a pack every time. Doesn't matter what cards I got. I would sell them all and make a profit, no matter who it was.
That was very smart because they are
plummeting. Fell apart quickly, yeah.
And so I just wonder, there was an HBO Real Sports on Top Shot and NFTs, and this was a couple years ago, and this guy had accumulated like $10 million worth of Top Shot. And I don't even know if it's worth $1 million if he didn't sell it off or sell the majority of it off. And so what's happening in crypto is there was this, I guess, this company called Helium or something.
But what were you against them already?
Yes, because they shouldn't have called it that. That's a non-renewable resource.
Should have been saving the helium.
Yeah. Yes. But the thing about crypto, which was always confusing to me, is you want to give what I call real money, your real dollars that are in your bank or in your pocket for this fake money that you're hoping becomes more than what you gave the real money. So then you sell the fake money for more real money that you gave. The whole, for me, 90% of the people's real goal was, I want to give you real money to get this fake money, that this fake money goes up a certain amount to then cash out and get my real money back plus more real money.
And I know one of the theories always was, well, isn't most of our paper money fake because we're not based on the gold standard? And so they're like, so it could work again. And if you got in on it, like, at or even close to the beginning, I bet you made a crap ton of money if you sold.
And I know NFTs are still happening. I know that obviously highlight NFTs are still happening. Crypto's still going on. And you can go to Coinbase. That's like the app you can follow everything on, where everything is plummeting right now. And Forbes has an article out on this Helium company. And pretty much these guys created this to go, let's create crypto, which is all fake. And then if it doesn't work, so what? It doesn't work. Because what we're doing is we're taking the real money from people. We get to keep the real money. And if this thing fails and fails like it did, like it's worthless pretty much, is we got the real money. They're the ones left with fake helium crypto.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying it's horrible. Maybe 10 years from now or 5 years from now, crypto is back and exploding and everybody's using crypto at Pizza Inn and Best Buy and whatever. And we're not even using money anymore. But it seems like it never took off as a real viable resource to really use. And so here, NFTs are just dying right now.
And part of the reason is the way you described it, Mike, is I know there's going to be people texting and be like, oh, y'all are so dumb. You don't know what you're talking about. But like, how many people don't understand it? Like, if you just go to the average 100 people, how many people will be like, do you know how money works? You know, feel like probably 100 of them, hopefully, maybe not. But if you ask them, how does crypto and NFT work? How many of them can explain it to you? And how many are like, I kind of know? And how many are like, I really don't understand it? They did a terrible job explaining it.
Yeah, and maybe I'll still be stupid, but they're like, you can buy Roger Staubach to Drew Pearson's Hail Mary. You're like, wait, I can buy it? So if I buy this, if I were able to buy all of the crypto of this or all the NFT of this, like, I totally own it. YouTube can't play it anymore. The NFL Network can't play it anymore. Fox, CBS, nobody can play this highlight without going through me. They have to buy this highlight. And the answer is no. The highlight's out there. It's always going to be on YouTube. They can use it on every NFL network. They can use it on any YouTube show. Anybody could show it. Is here's where the Hail Mary came from. This and that. You're like, but then what do I own? They're like, you own 0110020101010. Right. And you're like, that doesn't.
Are there twos in?
What's that episode of The Simpsons?
I threw a two in there.
Where they're like, hey, just grab some more stock on your way out. Yes. And they go, it's the toilet paper absolutely. Roll. And
like, and so it just didn't make sense to me that I could own a highlight through Top Shot or through NFL or through the Dallas Cowboys, but you own absolutely nothing of it. There's nothing that says you can stop showing this because I own it now.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Man, I got my own personal Forgiveness Friday and I need to get into. Oh, no. And I got a question. If you could shoot any liquid out of your finger, what would it be? Ooh. And which finger? Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.